Hi, welcome to the Meg Pearson Podcast, Fertile at 40. I'm your host, Meg Pearson. After many health complications due to alcohol addiction and an eating disorder that ruled my world for close to 20 years, I was told I would never have children. At 38, I naturally and surprisingly fell pregnant, and the transition from maiden to mother was wrought with love, grief, excitement, and healing. Becoming a mama was about far more than just soothing stitches and learning how to care for a tiny human. It was, and still is, a relearning of who I am and what I am truly capable of. After over two challenging years trying to conceive a second baby since, I gratefully and naturally conceived my second child just as I turned 41, after three losses and heaps of heartache. I am a doula in training, holistic chef, teacher of yoga, and a childbirth educator, and I am here to share my story because I know it's not just mine. Join me each week for unbiased convos with a no-bullshit approach to faith, infertility, conscious conception, and connected pregnancy, with birth stories, expert interviews, and personal anecdotes to help tell the story of creation. Welcome. Now let's do this. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Fertile at 40 podcast. I am your host, Meg Pearson, fertile and 41, currently pregnant with my second child. And I'm really excited this week to have another real life birth story, or should I say stories, coming at you. Today I have my dear friend and soul sister, Meg Selvister, back on the show, this time to talk about her experience bringing her three little ones into the world. Now, if you don't know who Meg is yet, please go back, listen to episode 7 of the show where I interviewed her, and also episode 26 where you'll hear my interview with Meg on her podcast called Manifest Miracles. You're going to want to go check those out as well. Now, today on the show, we chat about what it was like for Meg to have her first child in her late 20s versus her third child in her late 30s, and also why these age gaps between her three children has been absolutely perfect for her family. Meg goes into detail about her third birth of her now 2-year-old son, Happy, and why an empowered and primal home birth was exactly what the spiritual doctor ordered. So without further ado, I'm going to get right into this week's episode. Here's my conversation with Meg Selvister. One last thing before we get into the conversation, I want to remind you that this podcast provides general information and discussion about natural medicine, health, pregnancy, and childbirth related subjects. The content here should not be taken as medical advice, and the content here is for informational purposes only, and because each person is so unique, please consult with your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Now, on with the show. Welcome back to the show, Meg. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you, my love. Happy to be here.
It's so crazy. I was looking back in my notes to see when I originally had you on the show, and that was way back episode 7. And I think I'm coming around to my first season ending, while my first year wrapping up in a couple of months. So it seems crazy. So thank you for being here so many times.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm excited to have you on here for a very specific reason. We're talking birth, we're talking babies, and you have, of which you have three, and not so much babies anymore. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your family?
Yes. Yeah. I have a mama of three humans and one dog. My kids are 12, 7, and then my son will be 2 in May. My kids are like spaced like 5-year intervals. So 2 girls, 12 and 7, and then a boy who is the baby.
Amazing. Now, we talked briefly before we hit record about that spacing, and I would love for you to just speak a little more about that, because, you know, sometimes when people hear about there being gaps bigger than 2 or 3 years, people assume, that wasn't planned, or da 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 da. So I would love to hear your take on things and why this really worked for you.
Yeah. I absolutely love the age gaps between my kids. We really feel like a unit, and we're all like really helping each other. And I will say, you know, I started young. I had my first child, my daughter Lily, when I was 26. So the ability to space them out over 12 years, was easy breezy. And with my first daughter, my husband and I had been married for like a year, and we were like, we're not going to have kids. And then along came the kid. and so, you know, when she was born, we're like, well, only child, you know. And then around her fourth birthday, we were like, do we want an only child, or do we want her to have a sibling, you know? And so we're like, well, let's just see what happens. And so a few months later, we conceived Ruby. And and then with my son's name is Happy, around that 4-year mark after having Ruby, I had all these intuitives and so many people saying to me, like, there's a baby boy spirit, like hovering around you, really wanting to come through. And it was just a lot of crazy happenings that led us to finally conceive Happy. And pretty much like 5-year intervals between the three of them. And it's really great. And I will say I had, Happy, obviously I was the oldest. I was 38 when I had him, and he was by far my healthiest, most thriving pregnancy of all three.
And I love that you said there were so many happenings, and I immediately thought happyings.
There were happyings. Happenings.
Happy yes. was making his presence known.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it. And I love that you brought that up, that, you know, you were getting a lot of hits and intuitive messages that there was a baby, a spirit baby, you know, that mm-hmm. was hovering around, because I deeply believe in that. And I've been talking about that a little bit on the podcast and on my social media lately, because I 100% do believe that when there is, you know, a yearning, even the smallest yearning for a parent or a mother or father, there is definitely a spirit baby that around mm-hmm. and ready. And mm-hmm. I do believe that the little people that are coming to the world right now, especially, are coming here, and their energy is coming through really, really strongly, because they've got stuff to do. They've got big work to do.
And I'll tell you a little bit about with Happy. So after Ruby, I decided to get an IUD. So I had a copper IUD. I didn't want to mess with hormones anymore. And so I got the copper IUD, and after about 3 years, and these things are supposed to last for like 10, 15, I don't know, a lot of years. And after about 3 years, my body started like rejecting it. And like I was not feeling well, my stomach, I was having a lot of bloating. And then even like when I would go through TSA at the airports, it would light up. And like me and the TSA people would always like have this moment, you know, where they're like, what's in your crotch? You know, and it was really weird. It was like the universe is like, alert, alert, like take this out, you know? Yeah. And, I went to one of my very best friends is a Reiki master and a healer and a really incredible massage therapist. And I went to her for a session, and, so she put her hands like over my womb space, and we both immediately started tasting like this metallic taste in our mouths. And it was like making us gag. It was crazy. And I started seeing all of these, like skull and crossbones, like visuals, like poison, 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 get it out. And so at the end of that session, she was like, whatever is in your body that's metal, like it needs to come out. Like your body doesn't want it in there anymore. I was like, it's my IUD. And she was like, okay, well, that makes sense of why it was over the womb space. And, you know, she was like, just from an energetic standpoint, your body is not liking this. And, she was like, also, by the way, I think I may have impregnated you because she said there was this beautiful golden orb like hovering around your womb. And she was like, all I knew what to do was like push it in. I was just like really wanting to go into your body. And, I was like, okay, you know, and by that time I had several conversations with psychics and intuitives who were like, you know, telling me there's this baby boy energy floating around. And, so by the time that session happened and all of this stuff was happening with my IUD, I was like, okay, like I got to get this out. There's, you know, somebody's wanting to come through. So I remember I went to Planned Parenthood to get my IUD out because my OBGYN was like, you have to make an appointment and blah, blah, blah. And like, they like scolded me because I hadn't been in a while. And I was like, screw you guys, whatever. So went to Planned Parenthood, got the IUD out. And we took a trip to Hawaii. And both my husband and I are very, very called to the island of Kauai specifically. And like, we both are very activated there and just really connected to the land. And I came back from that trip pregnant. And so we had conceived wow. Happy. And yeah, so it was just like a wild journey. And this story is absolutely not, no judgment against like IUDs, like if you have them or you don't, or copper or hormonal, whatever. This is just my story. And like, my body was like, get it out, because this baby wanted to come through so strongly.
Yeah. Wow. So amazing. And I love that as you were telling that story, my little baby boy that's in deep inside my womb right now is kicking and fluttering.
Oh my God,
and
I love it.
Loving it. So cool. So cool. Okay. So let's get back. Let's talk briefly, because I think we're going to focus a lot on Happy's birth, because I think that was a really powerful one for you, and also the most recent. So probably the details are a little bit clearer. But I would love for you to just talk a bit about your first two birth experiences, what they were like, a little bit of maybe about the pregnancies, because Fertile at 40 is the name of my podcast. And that's just a theme, because that's, I feel really empowered now as a 41-year-old woman to be pregnant again and be going through all of this. And I love that you can speak to the experience of being pregnant in your 20s and then again in your later 30s or of a advanced maternal age.
Right. Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. But if you can just touch on each of the earlier ones, and then we'll go in more depth with Happy.
Yeah. I love this question because it's fascinating to me. So with my first, I was 26 and my whole pregnancy was kind of like, the theme of the pregnancy was pretty much victim mentality. Cause it was like, oh, poor me. Like I can't drink. I can't do this. Like every time I've been down, my boobs fall out of my bra, like poor me, like everything sucks. My body sucks. I'm getting bigger. It was just all, I hadn't done any internal work at that time. It was just, my life was all about like partying and, keeping up with like trying to keep up my college life. which thank God this baby came around to get me out of that, because that was not sustainable. And so I was in the hospital a lot for that pregnancy, like with like really bad migraines and, just like going in and out of the doctor. And I eventually had to get induced because of preeclampsia. And I went into the hospital, induced, had the epidural, all of that. Me and baby were fine. A healthy baby girl. She was like 8 pounds at 37 weeks. So like,
wow,
big old baby. Yeah. It was fine. Like it was life changing because obviously I became a mother, but that particular birth it wasn't a portal into like the deepest, most empowered, like wild woman parts of myself, because I was very much just like, okay, whatever the doctors tell me, like, you guys know best, like, I'm just going to do what you say. And, if anything in my body tells me like, that's not the right thing, like, I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to shut that down because you know what to say. And so my second, I had Ruby when I was, I can't even remember. I think it was 32. I don't know. And this pregnancy, so I was in the corporate world. I was working my way up the corporate ladder, was very much like focused on career and also like health. Like I was eating very kind of like obsessively, like really like writing everything down. And like looking back on it now, like it probably wasn't the healthiest thing for me to be doing. So it was very much like doing it right. Like I'm healthy, everything's good. I'm walking every day. So like physically, it was a good pregnancy because I was very healthy. But again, it was like work, go. And, that one with her, my water broke and, we rushed to the hospital and, but I did get an epidural. So I went through two pregnancies without ever experiencing a contraction. No idea what a contraction felt like. No idea. Because by the time like my water broke and I was like, I think I maybe just peed because like that thing's happening. Like I really don't think I'm going into labor because I wasn't feeling anything, you know, and the story like this on TV, when a woman's water breaks, like it's this whole huge thing and she's like immediately having a baby, you know? Yeah. And so I didn't realize the water could break and then you could like just chill, you know, because that's not what like Hollywood tells us. Right. And so again, had an epidural, baby, me and baby were fine. I think I was in labor for like, maybe 8 hours, but actively pushing for like 10 minutes, you know, like,
oh, cool.
Yeah, easy labor. Same with my first daughter. And then with her, I was back on conference calls 2 weeks after I had her.
Wow.
2 weeks after I had her. And that is one of the things that sparked my spiritual awakening, because I remember like being on a conference call, like holding her, and I was like, I'm sorry, guys, I'll do better. And something kind of started stirring inside of me. Like, this is not it. And then finally, by the time I got around to, happy, as soon as I became pregnant with him, so I had done a lot of spiritual work, went through this big awakening, opened my own business, you know, started teaching meditation, yoga, leading retreats, like was really tapped into, my, you know, authentic voice to trusting my body, and to trusting the process, you know? And so as soon as I found out that I was pregnant with him, I knew that I wanted to work with a midwife and I wanted to have a home birth. And, you know, of course was open, like if a home birth is not in the cards for this pregnancy, for this labor delivery, then okay, but it's what I would like. And so this pregnancy, I was so tuned in. I was like, holy shit, I'm one of those women now who like loves being pregnant. Like, this is amazing. And I had never felt that, you know, in three pregnancy and the two prior pregnancies. And it was just an incredible experience. It was so empowering, so uplifting, and to really trust, you know, the emotions that were surging and moving through my body, like really cultivating relationship with those emotions and those stories as they were coming up so that I could examine them and let them move through. And it was just so empowering. It was the first time that I had really learned about conscious pregnancy and what that looks like, you know, and it really was life-changing. Yeah. So, I mean, we can go into to his home birth if you'd like, but if you want to, there's any other questions before we jump into that.
No, it's so beautiful. And I think it's just, you know, so important to have this conversation about how, because like a lot of people, this right now, especially, it's assumed like if you have one child and you want to have another one, you're going to have it within like 2 years time. You know, like there's this weird idea out there that babies need to be
like, get it done, get it over with, hurry up. I'm like, I just don't want to like create a family and that like, get it done, get it over with.
Yeah. And also this idea that it's going to be better for everyone if you do it close together, where I don't know where that story came from, but it seems to be, you know, like, I'm so grateful. Like Levi and I decided I wanted to start starting to try to have a second child at 6 months postpartum with my daughter, Kobe. 6 months postpartum.
Oh, yeah.
We're starting to try now. Like we literally had sex for like the first time in like 10 months. And I was like, and we are aiming to get pregnant again. And Levi was like, what? He's like, can we just enjoy it for a minute? And I was like, no, we're working. We're conceiving again.
No, we can't enjoy it. Yeah.
We can't enjoy. This is... You know, this is, we're on mission. Of course, obviously everyone that listens to the show knows that it took a lot longer than that. And we tried for a good 2 years almost to conceive Kobe, and as luck would have it, as universe would have it, as Ozzy would have it, we are pregnant and having this baby, little baby boy, exactly 3 years to the month that when we gave birth to Kobe. And it was, as the months drew further and further apart, I know that I started to think, oh, they're not going to be 18 months apart. Oh, now they're not going to be 2 years. Now it's going to be 2.5 years. Oh. Mm-hmm. And for some, and I still don't know any other reason other than that, from what I had been told by other parents and what I had heard, you know, like the closer the better, except for one woman that I know who works in the spirit, who's in the spiritual community and works in medicine. At one point early on, I remember her saying to me, you know what, when maybe they're supposed to be like 3 years apart, mm-hmm. and sometime mm-hmm. down the line, your older Kobe is going to have to do something to help that younger sibling of hers. Like maybe mm-hmm. she's going to rescue him from the ocean or something. And if they didn't have that mm-hmm. age gap, it wouldn't mm-hmm. be possible. And now I, you know, looking back, I think not necessarily it's going to be something that dramatic, but there's definitely absolute right. good reason for them to have this time, but also for me as the mother.
Oh my God. Yes. You know? Yes. Yeah.
Because we are the forgotten ones.
Absolutely. Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like I love this age gap between my kids. It's like I can breathe, you know, and I love it. It works well for us in our lifestyle. And it's so cute. Like seeing my 12-year-old, you know, like going to take Happy out of his crib and, you know, helping with that and like helping with the bath and like them being able to bond over that. And what's really cool is like each child, when they're this far apart, and again, this is speaking from my experience and my family. But each child requires like a different type of attention. Mm. And so it's not splintered, you know, because Lily needs this, where Ruby needs this and Happy needs this. And it's all really different, you know, and sometimes they're able to give each other what they need, you know, and it isn't just me. And so it's really cool. And I've heard like, there's a thing, like if kids are 4 years apart or more, that might be not the exact right number, but they're kind of raised as like only children, which I kind of agree with. And I kind of don't, because my kids are like a little wolf pack. Like they're like, you know, they're raising each other and I'm in the mix, you know, of course. And so is their dad. But they each got this very, individualized attention, you know, when they were, babies. And, yeah, it like gives me more time to learn as a parent, yeah. And instead of just kind of like jumping in because that's what I know. It's like, wait a second, let me reflect on this. And I have this beautiful, like in between time, you know, between like choosing preschools or, you know, public schools or not public schools. And, you know, it's, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's given you that in-between time to make those decisions and also that in-between time to evolve yourself, which is something
oh my God, totally
has happened a yeah. lot for you between all of these births. You
yes. My kids have, there's like three different mamas that raise the babies. Yeah.
Cause
yeah.
there is the idea. And I believe it fully that when a baby is born, a mother is born. And then with mm-hmm. each child, we are reborn. And you are such a beautiful embodiment of that, how you have, you know, changed and evolved through parenting all three of your children and continue to, because as a conscious mm-hmm. parent and a conscious mother, we're always unfolding and into new and beautiful things. So mm-hmm. I would love to now talk about this beautiful, empowering experience that you had birthing Happy. I'm going to yeah. be listening with my popcorn because I'm hoping for this birth to be my amazing, empowering birth that I hope it and require it to be. No matter how it pans out, it's going to be empowering right. because I've made that choice. And so
right.
I'm really
it's intentional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have heard blips of your story because you did share it, you know, in social media yeah. over the last couple of years, but I'm excited to get a front row seat and I'm sure all my listeners are. So let's talk about it.
Okay. So as I had mentioned earlier, I had not experienced a contraction. And so, you know, with home birth, it's very much of like, you call the midwife, you call the doula when the contractions are like X amount, you know, minutes apart or whatever. And, I remember, you know, for a couple of weeks leading up to when the actual birth happened, I was like, is this a contraction? Is it? I don't know. Like, is this, you know, and I would like text my doula and she was like, I mean, I think if you're able to be texting me while you're experiencing this, it's probably not, you know? And I was like, okay. So I had this big thing around not wanting to inconvenience my birth team, and getting them all to come over to the house when actually it was false labor. So this was a big, big belief system that I got to work through. And these, you know, the final few weeks of my pregnancy was not feeling like I was inconveniencing someone or being a burden. It was like, no, Megan, you are allowed to like inconvenience someone and you're not a burden. Like you're having a baby, like just, you know, be open, be free. Stop like worrying so much, just be in the moment. And so that was a big lesson for me. And the day that I actually went into labor, my doula was like, okay, let's count the contractions. And so I was really starting to go into labor and I was going for walks and I had to come home because like it was getting too intense. And so my doula was like, do something that feels really good and just start timing the contractions. And so I like downloaded a timer thing on my phone, like an app on my phone or whatever. And I started really paying attention to the timing, to timing it and like trying to like get it right, you know, and I threw myself out of labor because I was getting so analytical and I was getting out of my body. So in my head that it threw me out of labor. And, I called my midwife and was like, I don't know, what am I doing wrong? You know? And again, like not like giving all of my power away to like a freaking app, you know, instead of just being in my body. And so she fortunately had the, you know, intuitive hit. She was like, Megan, like I'm hearing you. And when we're just talking, like, I can hear you moving through the waves because we're just having a conversation in your body. She said, delete the app. Don't even worry about that. I'm going to come over and I'm going to count for you. And because I want you to just be in your body. And so she came over and, she was like, we're just going to hang out. You don't have to do anything. Don't even tell me if you're having a contraction. I'm just going to observe and we're just going to hang out. And I was like so relieved and was so grateful. And I just remember thinking like, wow, what an angel, you know? And like, that was definitely not something that happened in my, experiences at the hospital, yeah. You know? And so she just came in and we like turned on like a salt lamp, you know, and like had some beautiful music, like did some Palo Santo, whatever. And we were just hanging out. And,
I was
42 weeks.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay.
So I was like, can we please get this baby out? Like, please can it happen today? And then I became so concerned with like, now, like I need to hurry this up because like I'm taking up too much of her time and like she's here watching me and like, come on, like let's go. Like she's here, like let's do this, you know? And again, got thrown out of labor because I just got really, I kept like apologizing. I was like, I'm sorry, this isn't going faster, you know? And so she was like, okay, I'm just going to leave and you don't have to count anything. If things progress, it's going to progress. If they don't, you're not having this baby today. Like there's nothing to think about. There's nothing to analyze, like just chill. Like it's all going to be fine. Just chill. She was like, just go to sleep. I'm going to leave because it was like 10 o'clock at night by this time.
Okay.
And she was like, I'm just going to leave. And I was like, okay. And so in that time when my midwife came over, we called my really good friend, my friend, the energy healer who like quote unquote impregnated me with the golden light. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
My girls love her. So we knew that we wanted someone that my girls love and trusted and felt safe with, that was going to be at our house, during the birth so that they could, you know, have their safe space and someone watching over them. And, her name's Lorana. So, Lorana was at the house. My midwife left. I laid down and like 10 minutes after my midwife left, I started having contractions and I was like, okay, this is real. And my husband had gone down to like take a nap or something, like in our guest room downstairs. And I remember laying in the bed and was crying because the sensations were so intense. And I was all by myself. And then finally I was like, oh, I can ask Lala to come in the room with me. So I texted her, cause I couldn't get up and walk or move. And I was like, I think I'm having contractions. Can you please come in the room with me? And so she came in and, like she could even see my belly was like, grr, you know, and like contracting, you know, and squeezing. And so she started timing it. I don't think she even told me that she was timing things, you know? And so she just like stayed with me and like held me and nurtured me. And I finally gave myself permission to just receive, to just be loved on without this feeling of like needing to, perform or get it right or be the one that had the answers. And so I just surrendered, you know, and I was like, I'm just going to let this angel like just hold me and love me. And like, she's going to spend the night here. It doesn't matter if the baby comes or not. Like, she's just going to be here with me. And she was just kind of helping me breathe. And it was really that of just like being fully in my body and surrendering and not feeling like I had to perform or analyze or count or get it right or call somebody, you know, like that's when I finally went fully into labor. And so she finally went downstairs to get my husband and was like, dude, you got to get up, you know? And so he came upstairs and then the contractions sort of like really coming. And so I was like, I need to get in the bathtub. So he's like stripped down naked. It was like, here I am, Lala, this is me, you know? And like, they like anchored, like lowered me into the bathtub and like, they really started coming. And at this time, Lala and Justin, my husband, are like texting the midwives, texting my doula, like, you gotta get here. Like, we don't know what to do. Like, we can't deliver this baby. Please come back. And so I started like throwing up, had diarrhea, like was like getting in and out of the bathtub. It was like, like it was really intense. And after the baby came, Lala and Justin were telling me that they were like making eye contact. Like, oh shit, like we're going to deliver this baby. Like, the baby's coming. Like, we don't know what to do because no one was coming, you know? And like the midwives weren't coming or anything. They were like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And so like the contractions started getting like really intense. And, at one point, like I bit my husband and like, was just like pacing around like a wild animal. And I kept going to the toilet. Like, even if I didn't have to go to the bathroom, I remember I just like kept wanting to go and like sit on the toilet. But so we were in my bedroom and I just remember like, I was like if you've ever seen like how a cat acts before it goes into labor, like they're looking around, like trying to find the place that feels right. And that's, I was like, like an animal, like, and I say that like with such awe of myself, like I just dropped in to my body and to my primal self and like just started getting into that animalistic version of myself and was like, you know, just intuitively, like my body, I was like trying out different postures. It was like a yoga class, you know, like different asanas of like what feels right. And I would keep my body in one position and a contraction or a sensation, a surge would come and I would feel into it. It was like, is this right? Nope, this is not right. And I knew immediately. So I had like one or two contractions in the bathtub. It was like, nope, this is not happening. Cause I had this vision of a water birth of like, it's going to be graceful and so beautiful. And like one contraction in the tub, I was like, absolutely not. Because I was needing to like bear down and in the bathtub, like that was not happening. It was kind of like, you have to like be leaning back, you know, and like reclined. And that was not what my body was asking for. My body wanted the like goddess squat, you know?
Yes.
And so what was one of the coolest things about this delivery, this birth, was that I didn't care one single bit what anybody in the room thought about me. And I was naked. I was like panting and like contorting my body into all of these different like positions. And then it was like, I didn't care. Like I just, whatever needed to happen was going to happen. And like, it was just like, just so tuned into my body. And every time that a major contraction would happen, a surge would happen, my husband and my girls were right there with me. So we were like on my bed together and they were holding my hands and just looking at me in the eye, like, you can do this, you've got this. And like, we were really there together as a family. And there's so many pictures of like my daughter, my oldest daughter, Lily, just like holding my hands, looking at me, you know. And I remember just being so like giving all of my trust to them. And when they looked at me in the eyes and said, you can do this, I was like, okay, I can, you know, and like anything they say, I wasn't like, yeah, but, you know, and I wasn't trying to like fix what they had to say or, you know, give any disclaimers or anything. I was like, okay, I believe you, you know, like I am going to be okay. I can do this, you know, and my daughters would go out of the room and like draw pictures and come back and give them to me and be like, you know, you can do this, you can do this. And it was just like the sweetest, most incredible thing for us all to be there, like as a family unit on my bed, me totally naked, like having contractions, you know, and then just like, you've got this, you can do this, you can do this. And at one point I remember like starting to feel panicked and it was that moment, the transition, I think is what it's called, like right before the baby really drops down, right before you start pushing.
And was the midwife here by then?
yeah. Like, okay. So I gave birth at 12:54 AM and the midwives got to my house at like 12:10 AM. Yeah. So the midwives arrived like sometime when I was like pacing and like trying out the different postures. Okay. And what was awesome is that they saw, oh, she's got this. So they like entered in and were very quiet. They just like sat back in the corner. They didn't do anything. You know, I'm sure they were doing a lot, yeah. You know, but and to me, like they weren't trying to like insert themselves into the process and to be the authority and the expert. They're like, no, she's got this, you know, she's got this. Mm-hmm. And so they just sat back in the corner and I saw, you know, they had like a notebook and they were like taking notes and, but they did not intervene. Which was incredible, you know, to be like, oh, there's the quote unquote experts, but they see me and they know that I've got this and I'm actually the expert, you know, my body is the expert. And so, there was one point where my eyes, like it was, I didn't know it, but at the time it was it's the transition period. So when you go from like contractions to like actually pushing and you psychologically have this like, oh shit moment where you're like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And so that happened, you know, and Justin saw my eyes like pant, like darting around the room. And I was like trying to find an escape route. Like I gotta go. I'm like, I'm not doing this. Like, no. And he like locked in on my eyes and he was like, Megan, calm down. The place you're looking for is here. It's here. It's here. And, cause he could tell, like I was trying to escape. I was trying to get out of the moment and the place you're looking for is here. The place you're looking for is here. And again, like I just fully gave him all of my trust. Like I surrendered to, you know, I was like, I believe you, I love you. Like, I know that you have my best interest. Like, okay. Okay. It is. You're right. You're right. It is. And as soon as he said that, my, midwives, again, from just observing me and seeing that I kept trying to like squat or like go sit on the toilet, they're like, she needs a birthing stool. And so they quietly set up a birthing stool. They didn't make a big thing about it. They just set it up right at the edge of my bed. And they're like, Meg, come sit here. We think this will work for you. And so Justin, they helped me. I walked over there, waddled, rolled. I don't know how I got over there. Sat down again. They were not like, okay, now push. Like they didn't tell me anything. And, I sat down. I immediately started pushing and was like that, like my body knew exactly what to do. I didn't ask if it was what I needed to do. I didn't ask how to do it. I just did it, you know, like we don't have to ask someone how to poop. right? Like we just do it, you know? And so like my body just did it, and I just started pushing. And it was so incredible because I just like, I started like singing, and like my voice is what like pushed him out, you know? And like, I didn't care what I sounded like. I wasn't trying to make anything pretty or elegant or graceful or cool. Like I was just fully, fully in tune with my body and allowing my body to guide the experience. And I honestly think that was the first time in my life that that has happened, where I just fully got out of the ego, out of my head. It was like, okay, body, show me the way. You know, so I was like making crazy sounds, making crazy faces, making crazy shapes with my body. And it worked, you know, and it was just all just like working in harmony together. And so when like, you know, pushing, they're like, okay, he's coming. And I probably pushed for maybe 5 minutes. And again, like on the birthing stool and like screaming, singing my heart out. By this time, the girls like went into their room because it got a little like loud. Yeah. And then when they heard the baby was coming, they came back in. And I remember like feeling, and what's crazy is like the actual pushing, like it felt good. Like it wasn't painful. And I think because the cocktail of hormones that kick in with a natural unmedicated birth, like it wasn't painful. It was like, yes, like it felt really good. The contractions, those
another story,
not the most comfortable. I definitely felt those. And so, you know, pushing him out. And I felt something like come out, and I was like, well, that was easy. Like, what was that? Like, I thought it was his head. I was like, huh? But it was the water sack, like uh-huh. came out, like part of it came out first. So it just kind of felt like a squishy blob. Like a
balloon, yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny, when it was happening, I was like, this is a lot easier than I thought, you know? but then he actually came, and I was like, oh, okay. But like, it was so cool because like Justin and I were like looking at each other and like the kids, and like, he told me, he said, during one of your last contractions, like a light turned on and you literally started glowing and like radiating, like literal glowing. And, he said it didn't stop for like 3 weeks postpartum. So anyway, like he got to see that light turn on, and we got to be like really, really a team. Whereas the two hospital births, it was kind of like, all right, husband, like get out of the way, you know? Right. But this, like, he was like coaching me, and he doesn't have experience of like coaching a woman through birth, you know? Like he was a divine channel, you know? And like he just opened himself up to be just so present in the experience too. And so for us to have experienced that like partnership of bringing a baby into the world together was absolutely incredible. So I pushed the baby out, I pushed him out, and they immediately put him on my chest, kept the umbilical cord connected. And like we had a birth photographer at the house too, who's like all about home birth. And so you can see the pictures of like, you know, right when he came out and they put him on my chest and we're all just crying and my girls are like reaching for him. It was just like the most incredible. And then went onto my bed, and again, kept the umbilical cord connected for like an hour. Like didn't wash him off or anything like that. And just like, he was just on my chest, you know, and just like, oh, like pulsating with life. And my dog came up into the bed. And then finally, after about an hour, my girls each took a turn, cutting the umbilical cord, and, and then we just all like snuggled up together and, started nursing him. And of course there were like a couple of minutes where it was like, is this going to work? Like the getting him latched on and everything. And it worked, you know, and, Yeah, it was, it changed me, you know, like really for the first time in my life, experiencing what it felt like to be so fully present, so in my body that I absolutely did not care if I was doing it right, if anyone thought, you know, that I looked weird or not cool or, you know, whatever, like there was no wrong way to do this. There, you know, I was just so in my body and it was the most incredible feeling. It was so incredible. And to be able to see myself as like the expert, you know, in my body. And it was just really life-changing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Megan Sylvester 7.0, right?
Yes.
Another rebirth after another rebirth for yourself. And I love, as you were telling your story, it was such a beautiful thing, because in a lot of the I've been doing a lot of birth courses and training as a doula and a childbirth educator over the last year and a bit. And I've been studying really closely right now the holistic stages of birth, which is it's just a really beautiful explanation for the stages. It's not just the first stage, the second stage, the third stage, like we've been taught from the Western mentality. There are so many little phases through that birth experience. And I could, as you were telling me the different things that happened, I'm like, oh, that's that phase. Oh, that's that phase. Mm-hmm. So doing this in this natural, comfortable environment, being at home, being with your family, having a birth team that allowed you to be fully connected.
To take up space.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And step into your power as a birthing person is, this is how it is meant to be. This is how it has been for forever until we really medicalized it all. And like you said earlier, like hospital births, amazing, you know, we thankful for them.
Yes. Yeah.
They the medical, all of those routine stuff that they do have their place, but right. In a healthy pregnancy and in a situation where a mother really wants to feel her power, that type of experience and moving through.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Without being absolutely interrupted.
Incredible. Yes. So absolutely beautiful. Incredible. And you know, my husband, so when I decided that I wanted to do a home birth, my husband was like really nervous and anxious about it, you know, and he was like, well, what if something happens, you know? And because all he knew was our two hospital births and then everything that you see on TV and TV and Hollywood, of course, they sensationalize everything. Like even I was sharing about with the water breaking, like I just thought in my mind, because of everything on in the movies, like when the water breaks, you're having contractions and the baby's going to come right away. And that's not the case, you know, at least it's not for everybody. And so I took him to interview midwives with me. And he was able to ask all of those questions. And by the time we had the baby, he was like, why isn't everyone doing this? Like, this is the VIP experience. Because even, you know, like when you're going through the standard OB route, you know, you've got like what, 15 minutes with your OB every appointment with a midwife, you have an hour and like, you're just like chatting about pregnancy related stuff or just like your mental health, you know, whatever wants to come up. And so it really is the VIP treatment. And what is so wild is that we had to like, feel like we had to defend our decision. And like, you know, when it's the most natural, it's incredible. And it's so empowering and so life-changing. And I will say something too about the cocktail of hormones that surge from an unmedicated natural birth. Like I didn't experience that with my first two because I had an epidural and it was medicated. And, you know, my first, I was induced. It's incredible. And like the bonding and the, like, I was so happy those first like 2 or 3 weeks after I had my son. And I remember texting like my doula, it was like, I don't know what this is, but like whatever hormones these are, like I want more. Like this is amazing. I'm so happy, you know, and like my hair was incredible and like I was glowing. And so I have a good friend who she had two C-sections, and the first it was like, you know, a scheduled C-section. She didn't go into labor. And the second one, she she asked her doctor, she was like, I insist on like going into labor and then you can do the C-section, because she wanted her body to like have those hormones. And she said it made a huge difference. So like, even if, you know, your pregnancy, you require a C-section, like if you can, I mean, I get everyone has their own set of circumstances, but if you can, like, try to at least wait for yourself to like go into labor so those natural hormones can surge and you can have that experience, because it really, I mean, speaking from experience of two pregnancies of not having them and the second pregnancy of, you know, unmedicated and the natural, like it really is like, yeah. Divine intelligence knows what they're doing.
They really do. And it's all of those hormones along with the process itself that brings the birthing person through all of these stages of consciousness. And where we go is, you know, it's beyond the veil, and where we're going mm-hmm. is into this vortex, you know, mm-hmm. we're beyond the subconscious when we're giving this birth. And the beautiful thing is, I feel like you dropped into that fully and completely, and part of you probably stayed in that vortex for a long time after birth. And that's mm-hmm. probably what, you know, you said that light was turned on, right? Like that's that mm-hmm. beautiful space of divine, absolute trust mm-hmm. and connection and consciousness. And,
mm-hmm. and I can tap back into that. I mean, my life has changed profoundly since that birth, yeah. you know, and I mean, I went through some hard, you know, I lost my dad, I lost my dog. I wrote a book, I launched a podcast. I, you know, like so much happened after having him, and really experiencing my full power and my ability to stay in the moment, even when the sensations were so powerful, and trusting myself, trusting my body, knowing that it wasn't going to kill me, mm-hmm. you know, and birthing something, a baby, you know, like out of that, out of those sensations. It's just so incredible. And it's so sad that women have been robbed of that experience when it could have been their reality, you know, yeah. being talked out of it.
Well, I'm so grateful that you're here to share about it. And I think that, you know, a big reason why I have this podcast is for this exact purpose, to get, you know, to talk a lot more about this. I do believe that there is a big resurgence in home birth and midwifery care. Mm-hmm. It's been happening because of COVID, right? Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. and also because of this, the big shift in consciousness that is happening in the world. And honoring everyone's decisions and just making yeah. sure that we have unbiased information is that really the important thing. Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate you sharing that today. I know you mentioned a lot of the things that you have birthed since Happy's birth, and I'm going to put a link to your podcast and your Instagram and all of that stuff in the show notes so people can connect with you and see all of the beauty that you've created as this now mother of three.
Thank you.
And one quick question. So Happy turns two in May. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you still feel like you are in postpartum?
Oh man. I feel like I've been in postpartum for 12 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I do. I still feel like the brain fog, like I'm not as like on it, you know, but I'm also like, but is that just three kids, you know, in like the time of COVID and like, I don't know, like, yeah. But yeah, like my body, I still don't feel like, I'm in my non-baby body, you know, I still feel like things are shifting and moving back and I'm still in this kind of like, you know, discovery phase. Yeah. Just like my son. I think I'm shifting out of it, but I'm still in it.
Beautiful. And thank you for your honesty with that. Cause a lot of people are still really stuck on this idea that 6 weeks and we're done.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
No.
It took me at least two years yeah. to feel like myself physically. And I'm still working on feeling myself mentally since Kobe's birth, and I'm pregnant for my next one. Yeah. So, hey.
Yeah. So there you go. So yeah. Oh my God. 6 weeks. I'm like, absolutely not. That's silly.
It's so crazy. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Meg. I so appreciate this. It's been such a pleasure having you, as always.
You too. Thank you, love.
Thanks so much for listening. Please, if you would be so kind, I would be grateful if you could share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Please follow the show over on Instagram at fertile@40podcast and share what you thought about this week's episode. Don't forget to tag us. For more info on today's show, please head on over to the podcast website at meganpearson.ca/podcast. Until next time.